I'm so glad that you could be here tonight and to sing those wonderful carols of truth and to remind ourselves of the wonder of this time of year and what God has done for us in sending us His Son. We have been spending the last several weeks in the book of Isaiah, specifically Isaiah chapter 9. And tonight I just have a few thoughts I want to share with you, but at the core of them is the phrase that is on the wall behind me. It's this, that joy is peace with God. Would you agree? Probably something we haven't thought about enough, but joy is truly to be at peace with the one who made you in this world. And I got to tell you, sometimes that seems far-fetched because we have this concept of peace is that you would have to have something or someone so amazing, so powerful that they could reach into so many different, broken, crazy, chaotic moments. And that seems a little bit beyond our grasp. I mean, who in the world could accomplish that kind of peace? How many of you have ever heard of bundling? Have you watched the 5,000th Progressive Insurance bundling commercial? You know, the concept that you can get a policy and it's so great because it can take these multiple faceted areas of your life, bring them all under one thing, and then provide coverage. And so we're kind of familiar with this concept of bundling. Can I tell you something? That Christmas is all about bundling. It is that the one who has come is our perfect peace. In fact, the thing I would tell you tonight is that Jesus Christ is peace. Do you believe that? Because that is what the Bible says. In Isaiah chapter 9, you get a sense of why He can bring peace. And when you sit here tonight, I don't know you all personally, I know many of you. I don't know the story of your life. I don't know what's chaotic. I don't know what's up, down, or in between. But I know this. There is one answer for every life in this room. His name is Jesus Christ. You know, how? How could there be someone like that? And in Isaiah 9, you kind of begin to get a sense of how God does that. He has sent His Son, who is the total bundle, if you will. And we even sang these words tonight, and we read them out of Isaiah, you find out that Jesus, this one who's come, He's wonderful. How many of you know that you were created to worship? How many of you know that life is dissatisfying because we keep looking for things to put all of our praise and all of our hope in, and they continually disappoint? And it would be continuing to disappoint today unless God would have finally sent us someone who is truly wonderful. The word in Hebrew means beyond comprehension, awesome, wonderful, majestic, beyond belief, leave your mouth gaping open in awe, finally someone worth giving all of our lives to. Amen? He's wonderful. But He's not just that. He's wonderful Counselor. Finally, God sends us someone who is the way, the truth, the life, who has within Himself the very words of life, someone who can give us the truth that we need to navigate this life and to find our way back to the one who made us with peace, God Himself. Jesus Christ is wonderful. Jesus Christ is Counselor. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on and it tells us that He is the Mighty God. In Hebrew, it has the idea of unvanquishable hero. That means a warrior that no one can stand against. Friends, Christmas is wonderful because God has sent us one who is able to confront every foe that comes against our life. That is not highfalutin language. I'm talking about the sinister enemies that rob us of joy every day. There are enough broken things out there that overwhelm us, but it's the broken things in here that crush us. My own broken sin that I've never been able to defeat on my own. God sends one who cannot be defeated by sin. In fact, He's so marvelous, He can put sin to death in Himself and raise again and forgive it in me. Anybody say amen to that? Because that's Christmas. He's the mighty God. The infinite, eternal one. That would be enough, but it goes on and it tells us He's the everlasting Father. How does that make sense? It means this, that Jesus is the one who loves His people like a father. We talked about this Sunday, and in loving us like a father, it means actually that we have eternal access to God. We have the security of our loving Savior. We have the presence of our loving Savior, the intention of our loving Savior, the resource of it, and nothing, neither death nor life nor angels or principalities, and go on down the list, can separate us from this one who came to save us. Are you beginning to believe me that He's the bundle? He's the whole package. And it is why all of these things lead us to one title for Jesus. And you find that title in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father," all culminating in this phrase, "Prince of Peace." Friends, if I could tell you anything tonight, it is this: Jesus Christ is peace. He's the Prince of Peace, the Ruler of Peace. Why is this? Three things, and you kids are doing awesome, and we'll be done. Peace is the essence of who Jesus is. Jesus is not a peacemaker, though that is true. He is peace Himself. He is the essence of what peace is. When you think about this, understand this. Jesus Christ entered this world in a song. And it was sung by angels. And it said this, you know, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace." What did that mean? It was here. On earth, peace. Peace has arrived. Peace has showed up. Jesus came into the world on a song of peace. And by the way, do you know how He exited the world? After He rose from the dead, and He gathered His disciples together, and He ascended into heaven. Do you remember what the Word of God says? "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I peace to you." The entirety of the work of Jesus Christ is what it is because it's who He is. He's peace. He's the hope of that. That's who He is. But then peace must be the essence of what He does. Friends, consider this. In Jesus' birth, we use the word His incarnation. It means that Jesus was both God and man. God's coming into this world was so that you and I would have a Savior who knows what our hearts feel like, who understands us at the most personal, intimate level, and yet has all of this without sin. So in His incarnation and in His death, because He was fully human, He could lay down Himself and become a substitute for you and me. Anybody in the room tonight a sinner? I know it's Christmas, but can you admit it? Welcome to the club. And what hope is there for us? Friends, in Jesus Christ coming, there became a way for you and I to have peace with God. Jesus Christ shed His blood on a cross and paid the debt of sin. Because He was fully God, eternally could pay it. Because He was fully man, He could substitutionally pay it. That means it was absolutely qualified, and He rose from the grave, proving that God had accepted the payment. And the truth is tonight, you want to have joy? How about this? Your sins don't own you anymore. They're paid. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Man, that's awesome. But I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that this also had a second peace in mind, a messianic peace. You know what this is talking about in this passage? It's also saying that there's coming a moment when this king who has come and lived and died and rose again, it's telling us he's coming back. And there is a day, friends, when there won't be any more Republicans or Democrats. Sorry. There will be no more political parties. There will be no more borders. There will be no more boundaries. There will be no more illness. There will be no more loss. There will be no more taxes. Glory! Because the king will come again. And he will rule from a throne on this earth. And his rule will be defined by justice and peace. Man. Not only will that happen, friends, that once it starts, it will never stop. I love what this verse says. There will be no end to the increase of his government on the throne of David or over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. It's not going to end. Peace forever. Hey, kids. What if we just open presents forever? You guys want to do it? You with me? Yeah. What if that could not stop? What if the joy of that could continue? Well, here's the truth. This whole passage ends with one massively important truth. And this is how Christmas comes alive in your life and mine. Jesus is the only one who can accomplish peace. You cannot. So many of us are miserable because we are trying to do what only Christ can do. You're trying to create peace between you and God. You're trying to hold your family together. Some of you have put in a lot of time on your gifts and you're planning that moment. Maybe it's going on tonight. Maybe some of you are purists, going to open them tomorrow morning, going to get the gifts going. Let me ask you, how long will the peace last? I mean, honest. Before it breaks. Or somebody stops being giving. I mean, there's so much. We cannot do that. But the Bible says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. What does that mean? It means that this child, Emmanuel, has within himself the power of Almighty God because that is who he is, to bring peace because that is who he is, and to sustain it because he pays for it forever. Forever peace between me and God. Not because of what I can do, but because of what Christ can do. Amen? That's the hope of Christmas. I was thinking, when you begin to study who it is that showed up in the manger, if you give yourself enough time, you will quake a little bit, realizing that Almighty God, perfectly holy and perfectly righteous, showed up with all of the power in the universe to rightfully judge sin. But instead of that, he dies for sinners who don't even want it. Does that blow anybody else away? I read a great story, and the great ones are true ones, and this is a true one. Back in 1945 was the end of the Second World War. It was the first Christmas that we hadn't been in a war for a long time. And the Daily News in New York City wrote an article informing the people of New York that they should expect something in the harbor. This is what it read. Christmas Day will find a mighty armada consisting of 4 battleships, 6 carriers, 7 cruisers, and 24 destroyers parked in New York Harbor. I don't know if you've ever heard a battleship, but it'll make your knees knock. Only these cruisers and destroyers showed up for a different reason. You see, they had sent word on ahead to all the orphanages in New York City, and they had gotten the measurements of all the children that they could get. And when the armada showed up, the gangplanks went down. And they invited all of these kids to to come on board. And when they came on board, each kid was met with an individual package with their individual size of a blue coat, obviously made out of the uniforms of soldiers, and a woolen cap made out of their caps, every one of them. And I thought, how amazing is it, friends, that the God of the universe doesn't show up to judge you for all of the broken that you know is true in you. But instead, in the majesty and the wonder of who He is, wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, He parks Himself in your harbor. And He invites you, you poor, wretched, miserable sinner, who has nothing and no name of your own and no identity and lost in sin and bound for hell, and all of that's true. And instead of because of what He does in fighting the war on your behalf, He invites you into Himself. And what happens when you come to faith in Jesus Christ? He clothes you in His righteousness. Amen. That's Christmas, folks. That is what Christmas is. My question to you tonight is, do you know the Prince of Peace? Have you bowed your knee before the manger? Have you invited Him to be your Lord and Savior? He is the only source of peace between God and man. And the good news is, He's come. The better news is, He knows your measurements. He knows everything about you. And He died in your place because He loves you. Amen? So bring Him all that you are and be clothed in Him. And I guarantee you one outcome, joy. Amen? Let's pray. Oh God, tonight, this Christmas Eve, we're a bit in awe that You have come. Jesus, that You have come for us, and You did not come into this world to judge, but to rescue sinners and to be our hope and our light. God, we love You. It is because of You tonight that we're going to go party. We're going to give gifts. We're going to rejoice. We're going to eat too much. We found out, God, in the Bible, You're a God of feasting, so it's okay. Lord, I pray that joy would just abound in every corner, in every heart. Lord, if there is someone here tonight, though, that is God doesn't have peace, oh Lord, it's here, it's You. Would they turn to You this evening? You will invite them in. We love You, Lord. And all God's people said, amen.